Time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on RBN Network here from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, FreedomsPhoenix.com, where you can find a lot of goodies, a lot of goodies, a lot of goodies, a lot of goodies. The one thing that I want today, I wanted to, because I'm building up to something, I have a point. And what I wanted you to understand is that from the early 70s and the creation of the Libertarian Party out of dissatisfaction with the Republicans, there was, and there were Democrats and independents and all, you know, came in and they said, you know, we're going to have this statement of principle thing, create the party, and you can never change it. Take 7/8 in convention to change what I just read to you. It's not going away. But there are some people want it to. Oh, man. Challenged a cult of the omnipotent state. That sounds so cultish. It was meant to. The cult, the adoration, worship of what? Omnipotent state, this all-powerful, all-knowing state. Does this sound familiar to anybody? You know, we're like, you know, heck, if there wasn't a Libertarian Party, we'd be dreaming of it anyway. So I'm going, you know, we have this. What happened? It got more and more influential. You get ballot status in 50 states. You have presidential candidates. You have parties everywhere. It's an enormous infrastructure, you know, inside the system, okay? Its prime directive is to challenge all this stuff that's going on. You know, what did it say? You know, currently we oppose all government interference with private property, such as confiscation, nationalization, eminent domain. We support prohibition against robbery, trespass, fraud, misrepresentation, lying, you know, by the government, certainly. So I'm going, all right. I'm hip with this. This is cool. Right on. You know, I can go put head down plow. Let's go. But what happened was there was a contingent that came over that really, no, well, man, you got ballot status, man. You need to be a political party. Got to be more party. Got to be more political than that party. So what they did is there was a big push, and eventually, and I think it was 02, they passed at a convention in Indianapolis where they said, you know, the primary purpose of the party is to elect libertarians. And that's in the bylaws and so on, because it was easier to put that in there without changing the statement of principles. And I'm going, that, you know, by them doing that, then they're all, it's all about getting elected. It's about, you know, getting more votes. It's about, you know, whatever, without changing the culture, that would be a natural side effect. That's where I came in. I'm going, do you really think that going along, playing with, begging for a place at the king's table, that you're really winning anything if you do that and then are elected to whatever? What did we win? What did we gain? A place at the table? Be part of the scumbags? So I'm no. So did they think that the Libertarian Party kind of left? No, not really. It's been co-opted. It's been taken over. It's been infiltrated because the statement of principles is still there. I mean, if ink on paper means anything to you, well, then, you know, there it is. It's kind of like the Constitution. Doesn't mean anything unless you're willing to defend it. In a last-ditch effort to make sure that there is a clear decision made for the entire planet to see what the LP is going to be in this battle, I have a plan. I'll share it with you when we come back.
To break free.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here on the RBN Network from Phoenix, Arizona. Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, get you all kinds of goodies. Well, this is what's going on. I wanted to explain this so you can understand from my perspective in history that I can see what we're up against and what the most effective tools are to me, you know, to battle it. What can one person do? I remember I went to Washington, D.C. I met with, I remember his name. His name was Jack Cremins. He was head of the National Trade Data Bank, which is part of this Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act thing. And I could see that, you know, like the New World Order written in law in 1988. Daddy Bush comes in and, man, they're enacting it. You know, here it comes. I mean, I could just see it. I mean, I read this thing because my father, you know, manufactured trailers. That's a long story. So I'm just going, I read this thing, I had an interest, and I'm going, whoa, oh, this is so not what they taught us in junior high and social studies and government. No. I mean, this is like a violation of, like, everything. So I could see what we were up against, and I knew what was going to happen if this was allowed to go on, which it would, for a couple of decades. By the time my kids were my age, at the time my fourth child was just born. So I could see what was coming. And I go to my wife, I said, look, we at very least I can make sure the people in Arizona at least understand it. You know, I can do that in a decade. I mean, I can do that. And so she gave me the decade, and then after that she's like, yeah, you can just keep going. Because she saw, you know, she was satisfied with the work that we were accomplishing. Well, it got to the point to where now we had become aware of libertarian philosophy. And some good libertarians in the early 90s, and we, you know, that was the best word that described us. You know, Christians, and I'm like, heck, you know, we did bumper stickers that Jesus is libertarian. He doesn't use force or fraud. It's witness, parable, testimony, voluntary persuasion, example, you know, education. You know, he doesn't go to Caesar and say, you know, go make him be his brother's keeper or do what I want or whatever. Heck, he's going into the brothels. You know, so this is, it was a good, what other philosophy would you have if you believed in free will? You know, I mean, you got to be responsible for your own crap. You know, man, you made your mess. You know, that's life, life sucks, it's your problem. You know, you can't put a gun to my head, have Caesar say, well, I got to, you know, pay for your stupidity on any social or economic level. So, I mean, you have that kind of philosophy. All of a sudden, all these other problems you're worried about go away. Certainly the role of government. So I'm going, okay, this is of great import to me that I understand where my effort is best utilized. Where do I go? What do I do?
Skype.
And I'm going to go ahead and explain to you what it is that I'm going to do to penetrate the mate. I do this all the time. This will be effort number 15 gazillion. But first, let's go ahead and go to Don in Nevada. Maybe he'll segue us into it. Go ahead, Don. What you got on your mind?
Well, you were saying just a couple minutes ago that they wanted you to start a party, right?
No, the Libertarians started their own party.
Right. Now, the problem being,
I'm not a big giant fan of parties, you know, but
well, that's what I'm focused on. Now, what I just wanted to state something out of Bouvier's. A party is anyone or anything that is in the performance of an act.
Okay.
And so by starting or constructing a party, which I'm also kind of opposed to, it means that you're forming indirectly a corporation.
You know, you can call it whatever you want. I mean, the reason that they made a statement of principles. I mean, you know, we, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state and defend the rights of the individual. Okay. As long as that's what you're doing, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I am too. As you call it a statement of intent or something like that.
Well, what happens, though, is that when you become, whenever you create a collective, and that's, you know, you hear me say here a lot of times, Steiger's Law. Let me tell you who Sam Steiger was. Sam Steiger was an Arizona state legislator in the 60s and 70s, became a congressman. He eventually, in 84, too, I think it was 84, he ran for governor as a libertarian here, and he was a Republican congressman that ran as a libertarian, and, you know, and had some fun in the early 80s. Later, he would become mayor of Prescott, which used to be the state capital here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so he's the mayor up there, and he'd do stuff like they were all fretting over this one aggressive donkey that was on, you know, property up there. And he's like, oh, he goes out with a gun, boom, dead, done, problem solved, you know, next. And everybody got all freaked. Oh, he shot the burro, you know, and the burro was terrorizing neighbors there. And he just, you know, problem solved. Well, then one time they had on the square there in central Prescott, they have a little town square there, and the people were getting cited. They were citing them for going down the middle of the block when it's not busy. It's a small town, and they're citing people there because there wasn't a crosswalk there. He went out with a bucket of paint and painted the crosswalk, you know. So, I mean, you know, these are the kind of things that endeared him to the people. And he had a stroke, and, you know, so he's not all there now. But what happened was he had a saying, and we call it Steiger's Law. And he says, whenever you create an organization or a structure around a purpose or a function, sooner or later, the structure becomes more important than the reason you created it.
Exactly. So there's your corporation.
And collectives are always like that. That always happens. That's why I don't join campaigns. I don't join things. I will join philosophy. I have no problem calling myself a libertarian based on the definition of the word. That's why I'm so enthusiastic about what I'm doing, run for national chair, because I want to define and maintain the definition of the word. I don't give a crap about all this, you know, structure stuff. That is, if it doesn't serve the rights of the individual and the definition of that word, well, then it's got its own problems, which is why I'm running. If it was pure and had and defender of the faith and the definition of libertarianism, well, heck, I go out being libertarian. I've got other stuff to do. But when they started coming in after 9/11 and making excuses for a lot of things, including war, we were like, oh, heck no, because they're going to do to the word libertarian the same that they did to the word conservative and liberal.
Ernest, I think what's going on down there, I think it's really good what you got going on down there in Arizona, is something that is coming back into vogue, I hope, is community activity, community action groups. I think that's what you got going on down there, which is great. And I think it goes back in history to what's called a committee of safety.
No, I know what you're talking about. And what they'll do is it'll have a good ring to it, a good history, so they'll create a new committee of safety. But it'll be totally different than what they're just taking the name. And that's what I'm afraid of they're doing with the word that's been well-defined over decades, libertarian, and they want to call it, you know, do something else and put the libertarian label on it because it has value. Because Republican and conservative and liberal and all, it doesn't mean anything anymore. So I you can't swing a dead cat without finding a politician telling you how libertarian they are. Heck, that's half the reason why I run against a lot of these guys. I ran against McCain because in Chicago in 04, he was going on about how libertarian he was. I'm going, really? All right, well, we're going to find out. So this is why I do this. And I understand, you know, this creating of a political party has its own problems and we're experiencing it. Yeah. That's why I'm going to be doing what I'm doing this month. And I want to talk about it here in a little bit. But I appreciate the call. Thanks.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of legal power in words, and that's the thing we have to always dodge and get around is the legal power of words. Because once it's put into some kind of a usage, you know, you're almost hamstrung into it.
No, and that's why the statement of principles is so important. The first sentence, we, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state and defends rights of the individual. Boom, done. Thank you very much. I don't even need anything after that. You know,
way to go.
So I'm on it. Thanks, Don. I appreciate it. Let's go ahead and go to Ed in Arizona. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Ernie. How are you doing this morning?
Hello. Are you one of those workers in Arizona?
Am I one of those workers? Yes, I am. I'm trying to get to work now, but things are holding me back. You know how it gets.
No, I'm talking about Don. He was saying, you know, in Arizona, you got people, all these different interests, doing a lot of stuff, doing stuff. I know, you know this is Ed Vallejo, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, then you're one of them workers.
Yes, I am. I'm one of the hardest working people you know.
Yes, you are.
Hey, I just finished watching your debate with Wayne Allen Root from Kansas. And I'm telling you, as a principled libertarian, I don't see how you could possibly lose this race.
You know, and that's what this whole show is building up is to that. And let me go ahead and get right to it with you while I got you on.
Sure.
And let me invite the other people to call in. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. When we come back, Ed, go ahead and stay on, Ed. And
certainly.
Ed and I have been at this. You know, he's gone to national conventions before. He's the meetup coordinator for the Ron Paul Revolution here in Arizona. He's very active in a lot of things, so he's a good person to have on while we talk about this, because it was that Kansas debate that really got me on this track that I'm going to share with you guys, and you guys get to be the first to hear about it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Fighting for here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. How about truth, justice, what used to be the American way? And what was that? I thought it was pretty clear. The Declaration of Independence made it clear. Whenever government is, you know, counter to this defense of individual right thing, it's your right, duty, alter, abolish. I'm hip to that. Is it really that complicated? I didn't think so. The issue that Ed's talking about and the Kansas debate is there was, you know, a lot of stuff came up. This is the first time that Wayne and I, we've been traveling around a dozen states, that he and I that were debating the issues before a group of libertarians that really wanted, they had 28 questions. I just got the chance to start answering all the questions we didn't get to on this. I'll be finishing those in the next couple of days and we'll put it up on the website. But you know, they have, you know, and their first question, their very first question was, is it party or principle? I mean, it used to be the party of principle. Then it became, we kind of put that principle thing off to the side because, you know, we need to be more of a party. And they didn't see, there's a lot of people don't see that, you know, being a party of principle is the only value we have in the process. So I'm going to play for you just a part of the one that what sparked this is that there was Wayne Allen Root has really Wayne Allen Root war. Just call me war. And what he has done is he's made the debate about whether we are going to be too controversial. If Ernie is elected, what will he talk about? Let's go ahead and just play this and we'll talk about it.
Ernie, when you rebut, I want you to answer this question because, you know, you always say that it scares you that I might go out and convince people where libertarianism might be too moderate, too pragmatic. I didn't even know this until John J. Myers brought it up, but don't you talk about 9-1-1 truth? Don't you talk about the fact that the government was involved in 9-1-1 in the World Trade Center? I didn't even know it. I'm basing it on what John Myers has been saying. But you talk about the face of the Libertarian Party and what I'm going to do when I get to Washington. It isn't going to make us the party that believes in 9-1-1 truth. Can you imagine what would happen to the Libertarian Party the next day if Ernie's elected chairman and the radical idea that the government and George Bush asked those planes to go into the World Trade Center and kill 3,000 Americans? Are we out of our minds? Is that what you want the Libertarian Party to be about? If you think there's a lot of people that believe that, you better look at Deborah Medina, who had a great chance to beat Rick Perry and be governor of Texas. And the minute she even came close to mentioning 9-1-1 truth on the Glenn Beck show on Fox News, that was it. You think that was the one place she could mention it. Her entire campaign disintegrated overnight. He said, you don't believe in that 9-1-1 truth stuff, do you? And she said, well, I don't know. I mean, there aren't enough facts in for me to make a decision for sure. I'd like to look more at it. The next day, her entire base of support for Governor Nevada went to zero. Governor of Texas went to zero. It was all over. We can't be too radical and scare people. We can't. But anyway, let me answer you the question. The question you asked is, what things would I do? Ernie mentioned you go after wealthy donors who are not.
So you can see, and then later, you know, I'll play, you know, my response. But, you know, of course, he says anything 9/11 truth is that you go, yeah, well, Bush did it. You know, that's not what I argue. But that's not even the point. The point is that he's saying that the issue of 9/11 that brought about the Patriot Act, continuous wars for a decade we're going into, all of these violations of civil liberties, the creation of Homeland Security, the Transportation Security Administration. I mean, all of this total information awareness. I mean, every Big Brother program that they ever wanted is brought in on this 9/11 issue, but we're not going to talk about it. I'm not even allowed to ask the question. I'm like, you know, yeah, I'd like to know what the truth was. And what I always do, anybody brings it up, I'm going, look, until you can, you know, explain to me where all the molten steel came from, why are we even talking about anything? Where did all the molten steel come from? So this is, you know, he does not want to bring it up. And he's talking about Medina. I think her lack of support, what happened is because she didn't come out forcefully enough. She kind of equivocated. Well, you know, I'm kind of, you know, no, heck no. Look, are you challenging the cult or not? So I'm, and he keeps bringing up Glenn Beck. He's just controlled opposition. You know, right before you do the Southern Republican Leadership Conference in New Orleans, just less than a month ago, right before that, Glenn Beck comes out and endorses Mitt Romney. We hadn't even had 2010 election yet, and he's already endorsing Mitt Romney. So this is I'm, you know, I see where this is going. You know, it's Fox News and Clear Channel getting the permit for the stage and a microphone at a tea party and saying, we're in charge and we'll tell you what all the people want. They're ours. We all know that's not true. I speak at these. I'm in like double digits of tea parties, and I can see. And their number is diminishing every single time. The percentage of those that are libertarian or Dr. Paul supporters keeps increasing. And they're always most of the work. They're always the ones passing out stuff. So my thing is I'm going, you know, I could see what Wayne is trying to do. Wayne is saying, look, we got to be more moderate. We got to attract the conservatives. He keeps going on about the Tea Party. He keeps going on about grouper, you know, grouper fish. Real popular fish, but nobody wants it because they don't like the name. So they changed it to Chilean sea bass. And now it's the most popular fish ever. What the heck does that mean? Is he wanting to change the Libertarian Party name to what? Tea Party? You know, there is something weird going on inside the LP. Why? Because that's where the real threat is coming from to the big bad guys. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Freeze it.
What are they?
Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
Oh, we're not going to have to dodge the bullets. You know, this is the point that I keep trying to make. There's an entire generation that a lot of people that have been involved in this fight for freedom, the patriots, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, progressives, It's all been for whatever it is they want, or trying to take the handle that's created around a block of votes and use it. Well, the libertarian philosophy, certainly after Dr. Paul's effort, has created an enormous, powerful, enthusiastic block of votes. They want it in the worst way. What was the message? Ed, I got you there. What was the message after hearing what Wayne had to say? What did you get from that? What's he saying?
You know, I thought it was very, very clear from the very start when she asked the first question. She said it was the most asked question in many forums. She said, how do you feel about the ongoing tug of war between those who want to hold our party's principles and those who are willing to bend the principles to gain popularity and win more votes? Which do you personally feel are more important? You jumped up. You were first to speak. You stood by the principles. You stood by the party. You brought out the statement of principles and the support of the rights of the individuals and the challenge of the cult of the omnipotent state. You were right on with exactly what you said. And what does Wayne do? He gets up, and I swear, I had to listen to it and write it down. He said, you've got to elect someone as a national chair who is good at training you. Forget about anything, your opinions on things, training you to get in the media with your opinions and how to phrase those opinions, like it or not.
Yeah, I know. This is the reason I want to bring this up is because it's been eating on me for the past few days, because I had planned on doing something else. You know, I had planned, I have a video footage of, me in the 80s, 90s. You see me as a young man challenging whatever. I've been an activist for a long time, blah, 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 blah. And we're putting the video together, and I'm going, the people have no idea how bad the government and the people behind it really, they don't really know what they're up against. This omnipotent state thing is, man, they're making every effort to be omnipotent. And I'm going, they don't really know. They don't really have an understanding of what we're up against. Is that the number one thing is 9/11 or something? Well, no, not really, but I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm wanting to look at the truth. So I had gone to the airport just before I got to Kansas the day before. I went to Sky Harbor, and at Borders Books there, I looked for something to get. I already had all the magazines that I wanted, and whatever. And I saw Jesse Ventura's book, American Conspiracies, up there. And I go, yeah, cool. I'll get his book. It's something to read, and I'll see what's what. I don't consider him libertarian, but, like a Navy SEAL that was governor has a perspective. So this is what my response to Wayne was. I held up the book.
Jesse Ventura guest hosted for Larry King a couple weeks ago on Friday, had Dr. Paul on and so on. He's going on 9/11. We had him speak Capitol last year, and he got in the Senate caucus room, and we videotaped, I interviewed him. And he goes, did you know that there are CIA agents in every state capital? When I got elected, they met with me. That's all they wanted to know was how the heck did I get elected? 30 of them. This is, the conspiracies, everybody on the show, they're calling it, so if you believe in this conspiracy, that the chemtrails, 9/11, I just say, look, I don't need to know whether they did or not. I just need to ask one question. Can they enhance their power, scope, intrusiveness into your life? Then what's the moral hurdle for them not to? And when you go to 9/11, I go. As soon as you explain to me where all the tons of molten steel came from, then we go on to the next question. I tell you on this one thing, in the 1 minute that we have, I will not back off of this 9/11 investigation, knowing the truth. Will he?
And his response is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd run away from it like a train on the tracks. My God, you want to destroy this party. Name a national chairman who believes 911 is an inside job of the government. I'm not even debating.
So you can see that, inside job or not, that's not even, where I go with this thing, but that's his excuse. Absolutely. The pivotal event that was responsible for Patriot Act, wars, TSA, anal probes at the airport. I mean, on and on and on. It's going to be, there's before and after, and we're not going to discuss it at all. So I'm going, I don't think there's a lot of people that are new. And when I go to these party events, I ask, how long have you been? Have you been a member of the Libertarian Party more than 5 years? And it's generally more than 80 to 90% of the people have been a Libertarian less than 5 years. And it's because all the hardcore, the longtime Libertarians have left because they're just so angry that the Libertarian Party has abandoned its mission. They're not challenging the cult. They're starting to ask for their place at the king's table. So who advocates for them? So I have the list of all the people that have gone to national conventions for this decade. You know, I asked for it, and they give me the delegate list. So what do I send out to them? What is my goal? You know, to educate them what we're even up against. You know, Ed, what should I send them? What information do they need? I got an opportunity to send them a DVD. What would you think I should send them?
I'd send them a lot of Wayne Allen Root's quotes of what he believes. That right there, you know, I thought it was so cool that when he was talking about how the party could accomplish what they wanted to, but he said, but it can't be pure. You're going to have to hold your nose, and conservatives will have to hold their nose too. I thought it was so great that when you got up to speak, you politely thanked him for being your campaign manager. I expected you to give him $20.
I'm like, wow, because I'm very excited about St. Louis, because it's going. Wayne has made it very easy to make it a very clear and clean distinction. There is going to be the Libertarian Party in convention, and whoever winds, I mean, because it's all about who shows up. You know, it's off election year, and it depends who shows up. So if we have people there in convention saying, yeah, we're going to be this Libertarian thing. We're going to challenge the state. We're going to finally go up and say, look, man, somebody's got to challenge. We got to challenge them. Or there's going to be, no, we want to negotiate for a place at the table. And I'm very appreciative, and Wayne and I get along personally fine. He's always like, we could be friends and do things together, and we could, you know, and save and team up, and us. And I'm going, Wayne, we're friends now, bud. You know, it's all, you know, peace. I'm going, but, you know, I'm not going to be able to work with you. I mean, how much of an explanation you need? I mean, you know, dang. You know, so because you represent something so different. But St. Louis, for me, has always, anybody that's supported, I want to make this clear in the archive on this radio show, people that have financially supported me, people that are, you know, excited about this race, that they understand why I'm doing it. In St. Louis, there will be a very clear decision. Now, they'll play their Robert's rules of can I finish, point of order, suspension of the rules crap. I mean, they always do, because, you know, bad guys are in charge and they can do whatever they want. But what I always win these things before I even get there. You know, I mean, my focus is that people just know what's going on and they see what the machinations and, you know, their little points of order and Robert's rules or whatever crap that they always wind up doing. So I don't care about that. My thing is that the people come informed, and that they get more information when they get there. Do you or do you not see the Libertarian Party as a vehicle for challenging the state? Or you just want to become part of the state? You want to wear your turn at the wear in the ring or being behind a lever of power? Well, that's what Wayne advocates openly. He's very clear about it. He entices them with, we could be in power.
He's Boromir all the way.
And I'm going, okay. So after St. Louis, what'll happen? Well, I'm very optimistic if I go ahead and inform them. So I got an idea what I may put in there. Hey, thanks for the call, Ed, and spending time with me. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was kind of where I was going with this and what's got me thinking. Let's go ahead and go to Jeff in Illinois. Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Ernest. I just want to salute you and commend you for your decision to run for chairman. I want to say that I don't know much about Wayne Allen Root. Is that the name of one of the men who's running?
He was the VP candidate under Bob Barr.
Yeah, I want to say this. In my official capacity as candidate for United States Senator for the people of Illinois, any person that tells you to turn away from 9/11 truth, from Waco truth, from Ruby Ridge truth, from Kennedy investigation truth, is fully unfit for leadership. And that person has to be, you know, based on the matrix that we are living in, some combination of cowardice, idiocy, and just overall unfitness will command leadership. So I endorse your candidacy 1,000%. I'm going to have all of your contact information and your platforms on my, you know, campaign website. So I love what you do. I want to thank you for having Jet Lacey on the other day as your guest host. We had an amazing conversation. I'm out of breath talking about it. It gets me so excited. I'm running as an independent because I'm more libertarian than a lot of the people who self-identify as libertarian.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give out. Now I got to go on and finish what I want to, but I'll give you an opportunity to give out your website. Go ahead.
Well, what I want to do is here's the 9/11 information that is so key. Have you heard the story of April Gallup, Ernest?
Remind me.
April Gallup was the woman who was sitting at a desk 40 feet from the hole in the Pentagon where they told us the plane crashed through. She says in her lawsuit against Richard Myers, Donald Rumsfeld, and Dick Cheney, which is currently ongoing and filed with the Southern District of New York, that the charges include to cause and to arrange for high explosive charges to be detonated inside the Pentagon, and or a missile of some sort to be fired at the building at or about the time the Wayward airliner supposedly arrived there, to give the false impression that hijackers had crashed the plane into the building, as it apparently happened in New York. Pilots for 4911truth.org is my website. I was a United flight attendant on September 11th. Our candidacies are insignificant compared to the campaign of defending the life of the murdered.
I appreciate 911truth.org. Now, pilots for 911truth.org. Okay, I'm going to let you go with that, Jeff. I let you have your commercial, man. You did it. Thanks, Jeff. You know, what we did, I tell you how we approached this. I had Karen Kwiatkowski. She was a Air Force colonel at the Pentagon. And that's a long story, but we were talking about other stuff, and she was there. Now, they issued stretchers. They go out around to where the hole was. They're about a third of the way around the Pentagon. They come over, and they have stretchers. We're going to go get the body, help the people. There's nothing. There was no plane wreckage. There was no, they're going, this is, and she was telling me privately that a lot of the guys there that are experienced in warfare, they could smell cordite, which is, I guess, an explosive that they're familiar with. So they go, yeah, this is no, heck no. So we know. You know, do we get to ask the questions? Well, you get slammed by the, well, heck, that's all the more reason to ask a question. So I'm ready to, yeah, no. It's not something that I dwell on all the time because I've been through this before. You know, I was active when they had Ruby Ridge and Waco, and Oklahoma City bombing's got its own problems, and the first World Trade Center bombing in 93. And all, I mean, a lot of people don't even know this stuff. So what do I do? What is it that I'm going to bring to this? I mean, I there was a lot of stuff that I could talk about me and what we've accomplished and everything, you know, and that was really where I was going with this. After this, what happened was, there was a young man here, one of the videographers, his name is Drew, and he's We Are Change Arizona. So he's with the We Are Change guys, which are a lot of focus on 9/11. And when I had posted this up last week, he got a phone call from someone that said, hey, man, what the heck is this? He wasn't even talking about me. Who's this way? He's running for National Chair of the Libertarian Party, and he's going to run away from 9/11. What kind of crap is that? So they were, it just hit the 9/11 community and just went, you know, ballistic. Well, Wayne doesn't know. He doesn't keep track. He doesn't care. You know, he's not even going to be on their radar screen. So for me, I'm going, wow, you know, I know a lot of these libertarians are really, you know, in these conventions. I know a lot of them are disgruntled conservative Republicans that have come over because of whatever. And then, you know, there's always that type that wants to seek the shiny badge, and they want to be, I'm chair of. And a lot of the real libertarians, they don't care. That's not their thing. They're out advocating, you know, for freedom, you know, being activists. So what DVD would I include, or video or information would I send to all of the libertarians over the last decade that gone to national conventions? Think about it. What would you send? I'm thinking about it. I'll share with you when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Where is the love? I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Yeah, here's love here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, doing my best to spread, you know, you can't have love without truth. You know, can I have some truth? Am I allowed? A lot of people don't want you even bringing it up. They'll make you pay. You get Dixie chicked, which used to be, or goyetted, you know, this, you bring it up, you go, whoa, 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 what they, you know, ah, boom, done. You know, economically, they'll go after you. But then you start to find that there's a market for people that just tell the truth. You know, and it's growing up all over the internet. Artists are being totally separated from the industry because the industry is supported by the man. Well, what happens when you know, you don't like them anymore and you bypass them? There's a truth war coming. You know, are we going to be part of it? Lee in Georgia, what do you got to say, man?
You're such a smart cookie. I love smart people. I've got a question for you. I'm sure you've thought about this, but I get people want to argue this point with me all the time. We know for a fact, okay, the Boeing 757 has two Pratt & Whitney engines, which are about 12 foot long, 9 foot in diameter, and are constructed of 6 tons of steel and titanium. We also know, for those of us who are science savvy, the melting point of titanium is 1,688 degrees Celsius. Jet fuel is a hydrocarbon and burns at a maximum temperature of 1,120 degrees Celsius.
Okay, in the limited time that we have, I want to finish what I'm doing. I'll submit this. You know, I understand all the scientific part of that. I've been doing this for a long time. When you have a plane hits the Pentagon, where'd the engines go? Where's the engine holes? Heck, where's all the wreckage? I know it's ludicrous what's going on. So I got to ask you, Lee, with all this information, and I'm running for national chair of all these libertarians that you think that they would be, they're trying to be made afraid to even bring this up. Would you send them loose change? Would you send them fabled enemies? Would you send them invisible empire? Would you send them martial law? Would you send them just the Ron Paul Liberty document? How hardcore would you go? How much fear, you know, how much do you want to wake them up? Or would you send them all? I mean, what would you do, Lee? You had this opportunity because you know it's either going to guarantee my election or guarantee my defeat, one or the other. And that's not my concern. I have a decision right now, today. I'm going to decide, go in there, finish editing the video, and put what do I put on there. When Wayne says, oh, we should never be the aliens, can you imagine heavens to Murgatroyd if we were to talk about 9/11? So what do I do? What do I do, Lee?
I would send them Loose Change, Zeitgeist the movie, and Zeitgeist Addendum, and then I would ask them the question, if this was true that they did vaporize, how was the DNA identification laboratory able to identify 184 out of 189 victims?
Well, thanks for the call, Lee. I appreciate it. But you can understand, from my perspective, there is a big information gap. And we have been beaten down and made afraid to even ask the questions. And I'm you know, we're not afraid here. I'm not afraid. I'm just not afraid. Now I have no fear. Well, heck, I got limited amount of ability to how much I can put in there. What do I put in? You know, maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. You guys think about it. You know, imagine one movie. What would you send?